today. For Thanksgiving, something that we are very familiar with is offering up praise, offering up thanks. And in the spirit of what's going on, a lot of times what I do is I try to find an explanation to help kind of define particular words for us. And as I was looking through this, a number of things were arising on the word up. And I don't know if you've ever taken a word and looked at it and tried to figure out where it came from. When I was in high school, I did an unusual thing, and I took Latin. Latin is not necessarily a language that a lot of people are lining up at the door to take. But they offered Latin in my high school, and I knew that one of the things that I wanted to do when I went to college was to go into literature. And I was going to be an English major when I went into college. And so I thought, well, having a Latin background, that'll help me understand some stuff. So I got used to studying the etymology of words and where they came from. And I looked up the word up. And I found out that the word up, when you look it up in a dictionary, it takes up a quarter of the page. And it can have up to 30 definitions. Up can be a noun, it can be a verb, adjective, adverb, a preposition. This two-letter word in English has more meanings than any other two-letter word. If you were to check, it is listed in the dictionary as an adverb, preposition, adjective, noun, or verb. It's easy to understand up, meaning toward the sky or at the top of the list, but consider these things. We wake up. At a meeting, topics come up. People speak up. Incumbent officers are up for re-election. It is up to the secretary to write up a report. We call up our friends. We take up with the wrong crowd. You can brighten up a room, or if you're Cody Rose, things can become jacked up. We lock up the house. We fix up the old car. My brother always stirs up trouble. My brother. We line up for tickets. You can work up an appetite. You can think up excuses. At other times, this little word gives a concept some special meaning. To be dressed is one thing, but to be dressed up is something completely different. Some uses of up are confusing. A drain must be opened up because it's stopped up. We open up a store in the morning, but we close it up at night. To be knowledgeable about the proper use of up, look it up. Looking up the word in the dictionary, in a desk-sized dictionary, it takes up almost a quarter of the page. It can add up to about 30 definitions. If you are up to it, you might try building up a list of the many ways up is used. It will take up a lot of your time. But if you don't give up, you may wind up with over 100 or more. So when we talk about things in the English language, this is something that is more apparent to me because I just spent 10 days in Tanzania speaking through a translator. And while I was there in the classes, the guy that I was with, my mentor for the trip, Dan Larkin, he would sit with me and he would say, now there's some things that you need to avoid saying. And I don't know how many of you have ever played that game Pyramid, or if you ever played that game Taboo, and you have the card in front of you and there's words that you cannot say in order to get the person to say the word. How many of you know that's instantly the first word that you say is what's on the card in front of you? So he's telling me, he said, there's some concepts and some ideas that you should not say or you should not use while you're talking because they don't translate very well. And he would tell them to me, and then I would spend the first 10 minutes of my talk in the class with these students hitting every single one of them, hitting everything that he said, don't say this, and I would say it. And one of them was contractions. When you say don't, a lot of times the translator doesn't hear the contraction, and so if you say can't, they hear can. How many of you know that can't does not mean can? And so I'm catching myself having to say everything very emphatically and making sure that I am speaking directly to them. And I'm talking like this the whole time. And that's what happens to us, is in our English language, there are things that we understand, but sometimes the concept doesn't come across. And what we want to do today is I want to share with you about what it means to step up in the Spirit of God, what it means to arise in a situation, because as we are thankful for the things that are around us, these next few days, we're going to have friends and family and events that are taking place that are going to remind us how blessed we really are. And one of my favorite things to do is to sit around the table and look at my family and see how much they're growing. I just, for the very first time in my life, just 2 days ago, I think it was, I was writing Eve's age down on a piece of paper. She just turned 15, and for some of you that may not seem like anything, but for me, I was writing 15. I was like, this is not possible. She cannot be 15. She was just a baby just yesterday, right? Just the other day, your children that are grown or in college, or maybe you're sitting with your grandchild. Things happen instantly in a moment. And what we do is we sit around and we become very thankful for them. But then time passes and life happens. How many of you ever experienced life? Life just happens. And we, in the moment of being thankful, we can say, God, I am just so grateful for everything that you've done. But then a kid gets sick and school starts and trouble happens at work and life goes on. And next thing you know, we're sitting here next November and I'm encouraging you to be thankful and grateful for all that God has done. Sometimes life just grabs a hold of us. But when somebody is able to say, you know what, today I'm going to step up in my relationship with Christ. I'm going to ask God to I'm not only going to position myself to be grateful for everything that God has done, but I'm also going to say, God, I want to increase in my relationship with you. I asked you earlier to open up to the prophetic book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah is sharing some things that cover many hundreds of years prophetically. In the coming weeks, we're going to be sharing some verses and singing some songs together that come from what are called messianic prophecies, that are the telling of the coming of the Messiah. But also, Isaiah was able to speak directly into the hearts of the people about being released from captivity. And this is one of the encouragements that he says that the Lord gives him in chapter 52 and verse 2. Isaiah says this, "Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Shake yourself from the dust and arise. Be seated, O Jerusalem. Loose the bonds from your neck, O captive daughter of Zion." Let's look at verse 2 again. "Shake yourself from the dust and arise and be seated." You see how that comes one right after the other? We're going to arise and be seated. So I want everybody here, if you can just take your books for a moment and set them to the side. We're getting ready to stand up. And because that we're not in a denominational church, this is taking you totally by surprise. You're like, what? We don't stand during. Everybody's thrown now. What's going on? But we're about to stand up. Okay, so if you're able to stand, we're gonna do this. So I want you to do this with me. Are you ready? So shake yourself from the dust and arise and be seated. Right? That doesn't make any sense at all, right? And we can look at this and we can say, shake yourself from the dust and arise and be seated. And when I was looking at this, I said, okay, we're going to be looking at this from a very spiritual perspective this morning. Are you ready to put on your worldview glasses that are from the Holy Spirit? And I'm not going to read a lot between the lines. I'm not going to take a lot of interpretive liberty here. But I want you to see that what is about to take place in the people of Israel is they are going to begin to view their circumstance from a different perspective. That they are going to be asked to arise from the ashes and be seated. And when the people of God are asked to be seated, it is always seated in the throne room. It is always seated at the right hand of God. And so listen to this. When somebody brings you into their home, one of the welcoming things that they do is they take your coat and they offer you a seat and you can sit down. I was at a friend's house just last night, and there was some new furniture in there. And I sat down, and I was like, man, this is nice. And he goes, and it reclines. I'm like, get out. I push a little button, and ba-doom, my feet pop right out just that fast. And I'm like, man, I pushed back a little bit. And I was thinking, okay, he's going to have to wake me up in about an hour. I came over to visit him, and I'm just going to take a little nap here. When we come into the presence of the Lord, one of the things that we can do, spiritually speaking, is we can sit down so that we can spiritually arise and look at a situation from a different perspective. When you are above something, it has a completely different view than when you're looking at it right on. When we come into the presence of the Lord and we are asked to arise, we are coming into the presence of God, and He is going to take us to a new level of understanding in Him. And spiritually speaking, I want you to just kind of hitch your trailer onto this for me and be able to see where we're going, because a lot of times we can try to figure out at face value what's happening, but spiritually speaking, God is always trying to communicate something to us to bring us higher. And this morning what I want to do is I want to speak specifically to you on a spiritual level, that we're not just going to be taking a climbing up a ladder, that we're not going to be physically sitting somewhere, but spiritually speaking, we come into the presence of the Lord, we sit down, and we rest. We rest in the presence of God. I don't know how many of you have ever been in a situation where it seems like rest is impossible. We can sometimes get stressed. We can sometimes wear something too hard. And we can look around and say, God, I just need to be released from this situation. And I look at a verse like Isaiah chapter 52. And he's saying, arise. Arise. To come up. A couple of times in Scripture where people went up and had life-changing experiences. One of them is when Moses went up on the mountain. That was an entire spiritual endeavor that Moses went on. Moses went up the mountain, and he was in such a thick presence of God. You remember this maybe if you haven't looked at this before, but and some of you may not have, but Moses went up the mountain after the people were released from Egypt, and they had crossed over the Red Sea. All the miracles had taken place, and God calls Moses up to the mountain. And he goes up the mountain, he stays up there, and when he comes back down, his face is glowing and bright. It is so bright that the people say, Moses, you've got to cover your face. I can't even look at you. The intensity of the Spirit of God is so heavy on you. I'm kind of adding a few things, but they were saying that it is so intense to look at you right now, we can't even bear to look at you. Please cover your face. He went up the mountain, and then he came down with something. He came down with a deposit from God that was for the people. And if you are ever in an experience where you feel like you are going up to a place with God, if you've ever experienced something where I just feel like God is teaching me something, He's showing me something, I'm arising in the moment, I'm coming up in the presence of God, guess what? You're not there just for you. He wants you to turn around and come down the mountain with something that people can walk away with, that they can understand, that they can learn from an experience. God wants you to come up so that you can come down with something. And that was another interesting thing, is that if I said that I'm coming down with something, a lot of times that's a negative thing. Like right now, I'm kind of fighting a cold. I'm kind of fighting a little cold. So when you're doing that, you're saying, I'm coming down with something. Everybody's like, oh, yeah. People hide their children. You know, somebody comes into church that signed up to work in nursery and they're hacking away. We're like immediately signing somebody else up. They're coming down with something. But a lot of times what's happening is in the spiritual sense, what God is looking for is He's looking for people who are not only desiring to go up the mountain and have a mountaintop experience, but He's also looking for somebody who would say, you now need to come down that mountain and you now need to kind of descend among the people and say, God, this is what You've shown me. This is the experience that I've had. And in our men's group, I've just been amazed at some of the guys, what they've been willing to share and what they've been willing to talk about. And then to be able to say to them and go, you know, this experience is not just for you. This is something that now you need to turn around and you need to find a young guy that's going through some similar situations and let's begin to pour into them. Let's come down that mountain. Let's come down from that experience and pull other people in and allow others to grow in their time. I've shared this many times with people in our church that get to a place where they're saying, you know what, I've poured out and now it's time for the next generation to come in. And I said, yes, the next generation needs to come, but the next generation always needs the previous one to walk with them, to allow them to see the connections and the successes and the failures so that we can all grow together. And look at what it says over here in Psalm chapter 22. If you want to keep your finger in Isaiah for a minute, we're going to flip over to Psalm 22, and I think it'll be on the screen for you too. And this morning I'm reading from the English Standard Version. This is what's happening with David, as he says this. He says, my God, why have You forsaken me? Psalm chapter 22. My God, why have You forsaken me? And this verse is reiterated by Jesus Christ on the cross. And we'll be getting into that a little bit later in the year. But I want you to see a correlation here. Is my God, why have You forsaken me? Why are You so far from saving me? A lot of times we come up to the mountain, we have a mountaintop experience. And then we fail to see how we are supposed to be connecting with other people in that mountaintop experience. And I've seen it over and over again that the mountaintop experience begins to dwindle. Because anything that has something flowing into it, but nothing flowing out, eventually begins to die. And our mountaintop experiences are not dissipating and they're not being condemned in any way because God is not moving. A lot of times what we do is we have a Peter experience at the Transfiguration. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, Jesus went and He took three of the disciples with Him and He went up to a mountainside and He was shown in His glory to those disciples. And Peter immediately said, God, we need to stay. Jesus, we need to stay right here. I'm going to build a shelter. We're going to have a church. This is going to be amazing. We're going to have ministry that's going to come. And Jesus could not stay on that mountain. He needed to come down from there. Because He still had work that needed to happen. Sometimes we get into a mountaintop experience. And in our mountaintop experience, we're saying, God, I just want to stay right here. We talk about this with our youth ministry. They just came back from Saturate. And many of them are like, man, if it could just be Saturate all the time. If I could be at a youth conference all the time, if I could be at a leadership conference all the time, if I could be in just immersed in amazing worship all the time, God would just really be awesome. But guess what? We all know that that's not life. We need to come down from that experience. We need to come down with that experience so that we can begin to share with others what God is doing in our lives. If you understand what I'm saying, give me a little head nod. We're not just going to be on the mountaintop experience. We're not just going to be going from mountaintop to mountaintop to mountaintop. And I think that sometimes as Christians, we're like, man, if I could just get back on the mountain. I don't know if Moses wanted to stay up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. I think God had all that stuff for him that he needed to do. But in that experience, Moses had to come down because there were things that needed to take place. I don't know in the glorified situation that Jesus was in when he was on the side of that mountain with those three disciples, if when Peter immediately said, let's stay, let's get this thing, let's all camp out right here, let's not go anywhere. I know that Jesus was a human being. I know that in that moment, maybe in something in his mind was like, you know, that might not be a bad idea, but there's work that needs to be done. We cannot stay here. We can't do that. And for you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, if what you're looking for is that mountaintop, 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 and you never come back down, you're going to find yourself in a sea of disappointment because you'll stop up what's going on. There won't be an outflow, speaking spiritually. And if when that outflow stops, things begin to die. God is looking for a people that will be able to step up in a situation. They'll be able to rise up in that situation. And then once they've been able to step up, God wants them to now come down to arise and be seated. The other thing that was amazing to me when I saw that is that I shared with you, I was sitting at my friend's house and I sat down. And immediately when I sit down, I don't know if you guys are like this or not, but a lot of times when I sit down, I am so much more comfortable if I can do that. That's really comfortable right there. That feels good there. And my knee is giving me a little bit of trouble. You know, I've got a little thing going on with my knee, so I can sit down. I can put my feet up. And there's a reference in Scripture about a footstool. And I just pictured, this is the way this kind of works with me sometimes, is I just pictured myself, arise and be seated. In other words, come up into the presence of God so that you can now see it from a different perspective. But in that situation, be seated in the presence of God. And just, oh, okay, I can get a perspective now. I can get a perspective now. I can be in the presence of God. I came up to the level that God wanted me to be in. And I rose to that situation. I stepped up in that situation. But now I'm going to sit down and be in the presence of God. Put my feet up. When you put your feet up in somebody's house, that is true comfort. That is true. That is truly being accepted. A lot of times we feel like when we're guests, and my wife is very aware of where Phil is when I'm a guest in somebody's house. Because sometimes I can just be like totally at home in anybody's house. I'm just like, hey man, you know, where's this? Where's that? And I'm good to go. And when you really know that you're comfortable with somebody, if they come into your home and they sit down and they put their feet up. I don't know if you've ever, if that's a line for you, but that's something that I'm always aware of, is if somebody can come into my house, when Pastor Jeff comes to my house, he sits in my chair. I have a really nice chair. And he puts his feet up on my ottoman that sits in front of my chair. And I have to tell you that when Pastor Jeff comes into my house, sits in my chair, puts his feet up on my ottoman, I'm like, he's totally at home. He's totally comfortable. When we come into the presence of God, do you see that in Isaiah chapter 52? We're going to arise. We're going to come up to a new place in God. And we're going to sit. We're going to arise. I'm going to be able to look at a situation completely different. Guess what? There was a time a few years ago when a team of 15 or 16 of us went to Kenya. And we were going on a missions trip there. And we were doing some things medically and also educationally and doing a pastor's conference and all that. We tried something completely different. Is we flew into Nairobi. And then when we were in Nairobi, we actually chartered two small planes. We got on two small planes and we flew from Nairobi to the village of Maguri where we were going. And it was a completely different perspective. I had driven that about four times in the car. And you just kind of see what's around you and what's going on. But as soon as you get up in the airplane and you're looking down on the Rift Valley and you're seeing Kenya in a completely different perspective. How many of you, when you were kids, I don't know how many of you have ever flown in an airplane, but kids love to sit by the window in an airplane because they're getting a chance to see where they're from, what's going on, and they get to look at it and look right down on it, and they get to see the whole thing get smaller and smaller and smaller as they rise up in that airplane. I can remember my first trip on an airplane, and we fought over the window seat. And I knew that I wanted to sit by the window so I could see what was going on. And your perspective completely changes when you're able to look down on a situation. First of all, it becomes tiny. It becomes small. Second thing that happens when you're looking down on a situation is that it doesn't seem like it's something that should really be able to disrupt your world. It becomes manageable. It becomes tiny, and it becomes manageable. And when the cry from Psalm chapter 22 is coming from King David, the author here, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. See, that part, a lot of times people leave out in their moment of distress and say, I know that God is God, and I'm going to push through this. But David says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And our fathers trusted you. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. And so in David's distress, he's saying, God, you seem so far away, but now I have a reference point. And God is calling his people to arise from their circumstance, to rise up in their place, to give honor. In Isaiah chapter 52, we're going to read again from there. When they are arising from their situation, it says this in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 8. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy. For eye to eye, they see the return of the Lord in Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. I got to that part of waste places in Jerusalem. The NIV says that it is you ruins of Jerusalem. Break forth together in singing, you waste places. How many times in our moments of distress are we saying that it is not easy and not simple to worship God through our circumstance? And here they are. You waste places, rise up. You ruins, rise up. In your distress, rise up. In your pain, rise up. In your asking for a healing, rise up. In your financial emptiness, rise up. In your desire for relationships to be strengthened, rise up. In your desire to see a miracle take place, rise up, you ruins. Rise up, you waste places, and give praise to God. Give praise to God. It's so easy to say, rejoice in the good times. And you know that a lot of times in church we say, you know, we don't only do it in the good times, we do it in the bad times. But then, scripturally speaking, here in this prophecy from Isaiah, he takes it a step further and says, in your waste places, in the worst situation you can find yourself in the most desolate of circumstances, rise up, step up, come up into the presence of God. And when you come up to the, arise and be seated. Arise and be seated. And now I can look at my situation from a completely different perspective. This morning, I would ask you to do this. Look at your circumstance and your situation from a completely different perspective. Arise. Arise and be seated in the peace and comfort of God. Some of you may be saying, but Phil, I don't have any idea. I don't know how to do that. I would turn you then. This is Psalm 22. I would turn you then to the 23rd Psalm. Because in the moment of the 22nd Psalm, the cry is, why have you left me? Why have you forsaken me? Well, why have things happened the way that they have? And then we find out in the 23rd Psalm that there is an answer for it. And there is a cry from it. And I don't know. I know that when Scripture was written, a lot of times these particular songs and things that were written by David, I don't know how David compiled them. But I think it's wonderful that when it came time for the verses to be cemented into the place that they're in, a lot of times there's a beautiful flow to them. Because in the 22nd Psalm, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? You are far from me. Help me to understand. And then David goes into, the Lord is my shepherd. This morning, if you are saying, I'm in a situation that I don't know if I can arise out of, I don't even know how to take the first step on how to step up in my relationship with God. I don't know even where to begin. This morning, I would cry out to you and say, first of all, you're not alone. You are not in such an empty place. You are not in such an empty place that there is not someone around who can reach down into your circumstance and assist you into coming up into the presence of God. Because guess what? Somebody has been up to the mountain and they are coming down with something. And it is your turn to go up the mountain and to come down with something. Come down with a deposit. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The phrasing of that is incredible, that God would have to make us lie down. Do you get the mental image of that? It's okay, Phil. Just lay down. Have you ever tried to teach a dog to lay down? It's not fun. They just look at you and you're pinching their hind end corners and they're just like, you know, wiggling around and all that kind of stuff. I see God going, Phil, it's okay. Just lie down. Phil, lie down. Lie down. Phil, lie down. Okay. You know, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. For His name's sake. You see, when I take verses that are so familiar to us that we begin to really miss the spiritual impact, I slow it down just like that. I say, God, I've read this so many times, I could close my eyes. I can even say it in King James, I know it so well. But what I do is I make myself slow it down. I say, wait a second. He is making me lie down. He is saying, come up. Arise in that situation. And what? Be seated. Arise and be seated. This morning I'm going to ask you, I'm not going to ask you to sit down right away again. I ask you to arise with me right now, this morning. And in your situation, whether it is something that you are experiencing personally or somebody that you are close to, I'm going to ask you to do this. God, help me to arise in this situation and be seated, to be seated in your glory. Father, this morning, right here across this sanctuary, I just ask in Jesus' name, for the hand of God to come upon us. Holy Spirit, just flow through us right now in Jesus' name. God, there are so many circumstances present in this sanctuary. Father, there are some that are literally breathing through a straw underwater, desiring for change in their life. And God, You are saying, arise, arise, arise. Today, Lord God, I ask for strength to not only arise, but the willingness to be seated in your presence. Arise and be seated. Stand up, come up, so that we can find rest. And in this room this morning, we're not going to ask for details. I'm just going to ask you this simple question. If you're in a situation where you're needing the presence of God to just overflow you, to just overtake you, and to guide you through a situation, just signify that by lifting your hand if that's you this morning. There's one, there's two, there's ten, there's more. Keep the hand up nice and high if that's you. We've got about 15 hands going up. Situation where you just know that you need God and you need to arise through it. Father, right now, keeping those hands up. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to come into that situation, that we would be able to arise in this circumstance and be seated peacefully in your presence to gain new perspective. God, I pray for miracles to take place, for testimony to come forth in these situations. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning also, maybe you're here today and you said, you know what, I am having a very difficult time connecting with you on what it is that you're talking about, because I don't even know if I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And something that is very near and dear to my heart is to see people released in their walk with Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask those that are around you to just bow their heads, look at their top of their shoes, look at the chair in front of them. This is between you and God. But this morning, if you have never given your life to Jesus Christ and going through a situation or a circumstance without Jesus, you would hear a message like this and say, well, that's all well and good for you because you have somewhere to go. It is available for everyone. The Holy Spirit desires to be in your life. He wants to minister peace to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, I wonder if there is someone here today that would say, I need Jesus Christ in my life. That's me. I need to have that relationship with Jesus Christ. That's me today. That's me today. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Closing seconds here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, right here, with every head bowed, I know that you have called and set each one on a path of serving and following you. I know many in here today dedicated their lives to you. I pray today in Jesus' name that we would walk from here being encouraged that we can step up into the presence of God and find rest, so that we can return back to our situation. We can come down from that experience and be a light to those around us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord praise this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Worthy are you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I want to encourage you to just spend some time in fellowship together.